like to encourage you tonight, if you would, please open your Bible to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to begin reading, first of all, at verse 11. Some have asked the question, well, what is an evangelist? What's his responsibility? What's he supposed to do? Does God use evangelists? Well, I'm glad you asked those questions tonight, because we'll quickly look at them right here at the beginning as we look at the Word of God. Here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Word of God says this, and he gave, that's God, and God gave some apostles and some prophets, that's the foundation of the local church, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Of course, pastors and teachers, personally, I believe that's referring to the same office. That's referring to your pastor here tonight. But you notice that God has given us a gift. First of all, that gift is your pastor. Do you realize that God is a gift, or that your pastor is a gift from God? You realize that? And you know, you need to pray for him. You need to encourage him. You need to be at his side and shake his hand and say, preacher, but we're behind you. Encourage him. He's God's gift to you. But I also find that God has given the gift of the evangelist to the local church as well. You notice the word evangelist there. That word means a good angel. Wow. Do I look like an angel to you? I tell people the reason why I'm losing my hair is because of the radiation from my halo. But in any case, the word evangelist literally means a good angel. In other words, an angel is a messenger of God. But you see, he's a good messenger, a messenger of the good news, a messenger of the gospel. Isn't that powerful? That's a great word, isn't it? The word evangelist, a good messenger, one who proclaims the good news and brings a good message to those who have never heard, or maybe those who have heard it before and just need to hear it in just a little bit different way. But the gift of the evangelist, first of all, number one, is to evangelize, to share that good news, right? To share the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to share that in such a way that the Holy Spirit can use it to convict the lost of their sin and to trust Christ as their Savior. So first of all, the evangelist, number one, is to evangelize. But not only is he to evangelize, but he's also to edify. Look here, the next verse, it says, for the perfecting of the saints. The word edify means to encourage the saints to turn from sin, to edify them and to lift them up and to encourage them to turn from sin and to live a life that's victoriously for Christ, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. So number one is to evangelize. Number two is to exhort. Number three is to edify. He's to edify, the word for the edifying of the body of Christ, to encourage them, to lift them up. You know, some Christians walk around like they've been baptized in pickle juice. You know, always sad and thinking, oh, Christians aren't supposed to be happy. Don't crack a smile. Your face might crack and fall off, you know. And people think, well, Christians can't be happy. It's not fun to be a Christian. I mean, being a Christian, I mean, that's kind of dull, isn't it? Oh, no, it's exciting. Well, we can be excited about what Christ has done for us, realizing that the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Oh, we look at the world around us, and it's so easy to become complacent, so easy to be concerned, and so easy just to sit back and think, oh, what's the use? Let's just quit. Oh, no, we shouldn't quit. We have a hope. We have a joy that comes in Jesus Christ, and that hope we can be excited about because one day Christ is coming, and we're going to spend eternity with him. Oh, what a wonderful day that's going to be. We can rejoice in Jesus Christ. So first of all, the job of the evangelist, number one, is to evangelize. Number two is to exhort. Number three, to edify. Number four, to educate, to preach the Word of God. The Word of God shares with us in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. In other words, the evangelist is not to put the Bible down and just preach his ideas. The job of the evangelist, as well as our pastor, is to preach the Word of God, right? To preach the Word of God. Because that's what God uses to convict of sin, to encourage the saints to turn from sin and to live a life well pleasing and glorifying to God, but also to share the gospel with those who know not Christ. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. That's what the Holy Spirit uses. And to stand up and to give my own ideas or to preach a skyscraper of a message, one story after another, without any biblical content, it's not right. Because we need to preach the word. I don't have anything to say, but God does. God does. And you know, the job of the evangelist is to preach the word of God, to educate, to evangelize, to edify, to exhort. Well, as a young person growing up in the Black Hills of South Dakota, I grew up in a pastor's home. And there are many things that I saw that were so exciting. To see a church grow and to see the lost trust Christ as their Savior and to see a church developed is so exciting. But I also saw some hurtful things, some downsided things to the ministry. And there's always some of those out there and things that are very hurtful. But my goal as a young person growing up in a pastor's home, I always thought, you know, wouldn't it be exciting if God would ever lead me into the ministry of evangelism? And I noticed that my dad would call up an evangelist and say, will you come out to South Dakota and preach a week of revival meetings for us? And the evangelist had several questions. He said, well, first of all, how big is your church? Oh, we're just a brand new church, just getting started. We don't have very many folks, but we'd love to have you come. He said, well, can you put me in a motel for the week? And my dad would say, well, we have a room in the basement of our home. We're hoping that you'll stay there. He said, well, can you put me in a restaurant for each one of the meals? I've got a special diet. And he said, well, we're kind of hoping that you'll eat with us. My wife's a fine cook, and we hope that you'll stay with us and you can have your meals with us. And he said, well, can you guarantee me $1,000 for the week? And my dad said, well, our church is pretty small. We'll do the best that we can. Well, can you pay for my airplane ticket to come out? And my dad said, well, we'll do the best we can. Once again, we're a small church. And the van said, well, your church is too small. I can't come. Well, I thought, boy, that just doesn't seem right. Why does he stipulate on what size the church is? Doesn't God call evangelists to the local church, not to the mega church? Well, that evangelist never did come, and it certainly was put a mark on my life that I thought, you know, if God ever led me into the ministry of evangelism, I don't want the church's side to stipulate where I'm going to go nor how much money that they're able to give me. I want to be able to come on a love offering basis. So I continued on in thinking, you know, I really believe the Lord lead me into evangelism. I just really had that desire, and God was really working in my heart. But there came a time as I started to get older, I thought, you know, boy, ministry evangelism, that's pretty hard. You know, I think what I'll do is I'll go on to Bible college for 1 year, and I think God wants me to be a policeman. And so I went to Bible college for 1 year. And you know, I guarantee that I recommend that for every young person graduating from high school, looking to the future. I recommend that every young person go to Bible college at least for 1 year. Faith Baptist Bible College is a good college to go to, by the way. And do we have anybody that knows about Faith Baptist Bible College? Anything? There we go. Okay, there we go. Well, I didn't hear any amens out there. Amen, there's one. But in any case, I went on to Bible college for 1 year at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa. And throughout that year, I really believed, well, God wanted me to become a policeman. And I went through that year, and God got a hold of my heart. I knew He wanted me in the ministry. I didn't know what. I didn't know if it was going to be evangelism or a missionary or a pastor. I didn't know what, but I did know this, that I was going to be where God wanted me to be. And so throughout that year, I dedicated my life to the Lord, and I went back home, and I told my parents I'm going to go on for 4 more years, graduate from Bible college, and go into the ministry. Well, my mother got excited, and she knew for years I was interested in ventriloquism. So my mother used her babysitting money, and she bought me my very first ventriloquist partner. His name is Raleigh. I started to work on that course. In fact, my dad looked at me, and Christmas was on Sunday that year. And he looked at me and said, you know, this Friday we have a WANA. And I want you to use Raleigh for a WANA this Friday night. I looked at him and I said, Dad, I just got Raleigh. I have absolutely no idea how to do it. There is no way that I could do it Friday night. He said, sure, just work on the course. I had a home course in ventriloquism. And he said, work on that course. Just start studying it, and you can tell a story at our WANA Club on Friday night. Oh, Monday came along and I literally locked myself in my room for 8 hours. I opened up that course. I started to study it. I worked on it. Monday night, Dad came home from work that night and I looked at him and said, Dad, there's no way I could do it Friday night. He said, sure you can. Just keep working on it. You can do it, son. And so Tuesday night came along and I did the same. Dad, there's no way. He said, sure you can, son. Keep working on it. Well, by Friday night, I was able to tell a story at my dad's Wana Club with Raleigh. It was an experience that I'll never forget. I said, boy, God can use me. And I started to use Raleigh, and I went back to Faith Baptist Bible College, and I let the churches in the area know that I had Raleigh. I'd be willing to speak at their tribe time. And so I had churches calling me up and asking me to come and speak at their Awana Club. And then I had an opportunity at a camp out in Four Corners of Wyoming. I had the opportunity to use Raleigh, and several pastors saw me there. And a few years later, in 1986, when I was getting ready to graduate from Bible college, I had two pastors walk up to me and say, we want you to come and do our VBSs for us. My jaw dropped open. I said, you know, pastors, I've been wanting to do that for years. I would love to do that, not just for 2 weeks, but I want to do it all summer long. Those two pastors lined up for me 7 weeks of vacation Bible schools that summer in 1986. At the end of that summer, I give God the credit. I had the opportunity to lead over 100 young people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Isn't that exciting? I thought, boy, God can use me. I said, Lord, if you allow me to do it again next summer, I'll do it again. And the Lord allowed, I had several pastors call me up, and that next summer I had 8 weeks of vacation Bible schools. It continued on for 5 years as I went back to seminary. I graduated in 1991 with my Master of Divinity, and because the Lord led and opened doors there and allowed me to go back. I met my wife in 1990, and we then looked into COME, Committee on Missionary Evangelism. Now pastors call me up and say, well, Brother Silcott, how much money do you need to come to my church? I say, Pastor, doesn't matter how small your church is, doesn't matter how far I have to go, I want to come on a love offering basis. COME allows me as a missionary to raise support so that in return I can go to churches on a love offering basis. So if there's only a church with only 4 or 5 families in it, we're still willing to come and minister there for a week of revival meetings, a half a week of meetings, however God opens doors, on the basis of a love offering. God worked those things out as I worked toward the opportunity of allowing churches to have the benefit of the God-given gift of the evangelist. And so pray for us as we continue to travel. Right now, we lack about $300 a month in support, but God is able to meet those needs. He always meets those needs, and we praise the Lord for that as an opportunity to minister all across America. Last December, I had the opportunity to go to the Philippines and to minister there. We didn't take our trailer there. I flew, and I had the ministry or the opportunity from December 10th to January 4th. I was there for 24 days and preached 54 times. And what a wonderful opportunity. And in those 54 messages and 54 times opportunities to preach, I saw 680 people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Had opportunities to speak in schools as well as in special services where they had Christmas packages and Christmas programs. It was really interesting because the church where the pastors brought me or asked me to come, he's a pastor of a local church in Davao City on Mindanao. And this pastor is a pastor of a very large church. He's got several pastors under him. And so on Sunday, they all come together for church. But then throughout the week, because it's so expensive to get to the church and the city is so spread out, they have cell groups that meet all over the city. In these cell groups are ladies, usually the pastor's wife or the pastor's wife of that cell group usually has some education where they can teach young people English, and they go into these Muslim areas teaching them English, and they have the opportunity to speak in many of those cell groups and saw many of those young people come to know Christ as their Savior. There were some locations that the Muslim religion was so strong that none of them raised their hand. But you knew when they raised their hand and trust Christ as their Savior, I knew that they had someone that could help them and encourage them, and they were taking a big step in the places where they lived. I had the opportunity also to go out into the bush, and out there in the bush, we even had to, in one of the churches, or three of the churches I preached in, they had to pay the Communist Party to keep me safe. They had to give them money and say, keep everybody out, no killing the missionary. I had bodyguards with me, and the bodyguards were half my size, but I had bodyguards, and it was a wonderful opportunity to minister there. It was so exciting to see what God had for us. Came back here to the United States. My wife was in St. Louis, and I landed in St. Louis, picked her up, and then continued on our ministry. We went from there to down to Louisiana and Texas, back up to Iowa, and of course now we're out here in the state of Montana. So pray for us. We covet your prayers. You can see a little bit about our ministry in www.silcottministries.com. Silcott Ministries, Silcott, and then Ministries with an S on the end. And I have a web page there that has our prayer letter on there, also our schedules on there. And then we have a blog that's on our website at blogsilcottministries.com, where you can see pictures of the churches that we've been and a little bit of a write-up about it, and a little bit of information about where we've been, what we've been doing, and how God has been working in our lives. So we do have a website, and you're welcome to view that site. At this time, I'd like to introduce to you one of my special friends. Began with Raleigh. Raleigh is still there at the camp, and Randy. Randy is now 18 years old. I've had Randy for 18 years. I've had Raleigh for 24 years, 25 years now as of Christmas. And the one that I'm going to bring out now, he is 12 years old. I've had him for 12 years, and Rodney's a little bit bigger than Raleigh and Randy. My goal is to use Rodney with my fourth ventriloquist partner. My fourth one, her name is Rosie. She's only 4 months old, and she's still learning how to talk. So pray for Rosie. And we need to come up with a personality for her and to work a little bit with her. And I am the one that's going to be using Rosie, by the way. Jane, she didn't have any interest in that at all. But Rosie's still learning how to talk. And so pray for Rosie. My goal is to use Rosie with Rodney as we develop some new stories and ideas. And so, but at this time, I want to introduce to you Rodney. Rodney's going to come and help me share a story from the Word of God. My goal in ventriloquism is not to give a show, but rather to introduce others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Rodney's going to come, and he's going to share with us a story about a man who was used of God in a mighty way. You know, sometimes we kind of get the idea, you know, if I lived back then in the days of old, it would have been so much easier to serve the Lord. They had it so much easier back there. And some people say, well, you don't understand the trials that I go through. You don't understand the people that I have to endure. It's so hard to live for the Lord amongst the people that I live with. Well, you listen to this important story, and what happened to this man and the difficulties in taking a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he was willing to live for the Lord when nobody else would. He chose to stand up when nobody else would. You listen to this important story with the help of my dear friend, Rodney.
Oh, boy, it's my turn. I get to get up. Hey, that's exciting. It's my turn. I get to get up. Hey, well, hey, boy, it's my turn. I get to get up. Hey, that's exciting. Are there people here?
Yeah, there's some people here.
Oh, boy. Well, are there ladies here?
Yeah, there's some ladies, too. Girls? Oh, yeah, there's girls, too. Okay.
Oh, boy. Hey, that's exciting. That's wonderful. I get to get out. Hello? Hey, they're awake, too. Hey, good to see you. Thanks for coming.
Hey, Rodney. Well, what have you been doing today?
I didn't read no book.
You have been reading a book.
I sure have.
Okay, you tell us. What is the title to this book?
Ventriloquism for Dummies.
Anyway, you're very brave, right?
Of course I'm brave.
And you're very smart, too, right?
Yeah, of course I'm smart.
And not only that, but you like to do things for people, right?
Yeah, especially the girls.
And you like to witness and
hold it. What did you say?
I said you like to witness.
No, I don't like to witness.
You don't like telling people about Jesus?
Oh, no. I get so scared. I get so nervous. I can hear my heart beat. That's kind of hard to do, you know.
But, But Rodney, you don't have to be afraid. Oh, yes, I do. Every time I go calling, oh, it's Trey. Well, Rodney, every time you go calling, you should pray. You don't understand. I pray that nobody's home. But Rodney, you don't have to be afraid. Oh, yes, I do. Rodney, I'll do it. I'm going to tell you a story this afternoon that will prove that God will give you strength to do things that sometimes you're afraid to do. Wait a second, let me get this straight. You're going to tell me a story that's going to help me to be brave. That's right, going to help me to realize that God will help me in any situation. Yep, that's right, and I don't have to be afraid. That's right, I got to hear this. In fact, this is a story about a man by the name of Daniel. Daniel, huh? You see, Daniel was a ruler. A yardstick? No. He was a ruler. In fact, he was a ruler under King Darius. Was he heavy? What was who heavy? King Darius? I don't know why, because he's standing on Daniel. He could get hurt. No. He was a ruler. In fact, in other words, he was a ruler under the king. But there were people who did not like Daniel at all because he's better looking than they are. Oh, no, they weren't jealous of Daniel because he's better looking than they are. That's all, you're jealous of me. In any case, they wanted to get rid of Daniel in the worst way. How are they going to do that? Well, you see, they knew that if anybody broke the law of the Medes and the Persians, yeah, they would be thrown into the lion's den. The lions, are they hungry? Oh, yeah, they're hungry. Are they real? Yep, they're real. Uh-oh. So they decided what they would do is, first of all, that they would give Daniel an audit. How come? Because they figured if they could catch Daniel at a lie, did he? Oh, no, Daniel didn't lie. If they could catch Daniel stealing, did he? Oh, no, he didn't steal anything either. The Bible shares with us that they couldn't find anything wrong that Daniel had done. They couldn't catch him at a lie. They couldn't catch him stealing anything. So they decided what they would do is they would convince the king into signing a law that Daniel was sure to break. Like what? Well, they knew that Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and supper. Even I do that. No. He wasn't just praying for breakfast, lunch, and supper. He was praying for God's direction and leading within the kingdom. So they decided to convince the king into signing a law that Daniel was sure to break. So what happened? Well, they convinced the king into signing a law that nobody could pray to their God nor ask of anyone anything except from the king. Oh, no. Did he sign it? He sure did, Rodney. He signed it. Oh, what happened? As soon as Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went straight home and hid in the closet. Oh, no, he didn't hide in the closet. He opened up the window in Jerusalem, and he knelt there, right there in front of the window, and he prayed to his God. Oh, what happened? Oh, those men who convinced the king into signing the law, yeah, they came walking by, of course, and they saw Daniel praying. What did they do? Oh, as soon as they saw Daniel praying, they went straight to tell the king. Tattletellers! Yeah. Oh, the king was disappointed. The king? Yeah. He worked hard, diligently, trying to figure out some way if he could save Daniel's life, can he? Well, not even the king could change the law of the Medes and the Persians. So that night, they called Daniel, and they cast him into the den of lions. There he goes. He's a gunner. Wait a second. You told me that Daniel's going to help me to be faithful. That's right. He's going to help me to realize that God will help me in any situation. That's right. I want you to know it didn't work. He's gone. He's dead. Let's have a few minutes of silence. Rodney, don't you respect the dead? Let's have a few minutes of silence, please. Rodney, few minutes of silence, please. He's alive. Is he serious? He's alive? He's alive. What happened? Well, you see, the Lord came down and shut the lion's mouth. Do you mean that got locked, Joe? Exactly. The lions didn't touch Daniel at all. The next morning, Daniel came walking out of that lion's den in proof that his God is the true and living God, and that we can trust him, and that God will give us the strength to do those things that sometimes we're afraid to do. Wow, Daniel's alive? He's alive? God really did protect him, huh? He sure did. And after the king realized that Daniel's alive and they brought him out of the lion's den, those men who convinced the king into signing the law, yeah, they cast them into the lion's den instead. What happened? Oh, Rodney, even before their bodies hit the bottom of the den, yeah, every one of their bones were broken. Don't attack! In any case, we know that our God's alive. Just as Daniel came walking out of that lion's den is proof that our God is alive, that he can lead and direct within our lives, and we can trust him.
Wow, that's exciting. I don't have to be afraid. I can do what God wants me to do. That's wonderful. My God's alive. He's alive, and I can trust him.
We sure can, Rodney. Now, Rodney, why don't you go ahead and say goodbye to these fine folks.
I just got here.
I know you just got here.
That I don't want to go yet.
Well, it's time to say goodbye. Can I sing a song? You're going to do what?
I'm going to sing a song.
But Rodney, you can't sing.
Sure I can.
What are you going to sing? That song right there. That one right there. Do you know what that is?
I sure do. That there's a problem.
I see many problems.
I can't see it.
What am I supposed to do? Move it closer. Move it closer?
Yeah.
Do you mean like this?
Yeah.
You're going to sing that song.
I sure am.
Rodney, you don't even have a piano player. You.
Na 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 na.
You can go sit down now. I'll tell you what. I'll just stand here, okay? You're not going to sing?
Oh, no. I won't sing. That's good, because you can't.
I'll just stand here, okay?
Okay, listen to this. This is really good. The Lord heard Daniel, and the Lord hears me. The Lord heard Daniel, and the Lord hears me. 'Cause Daniel prayed to him, God saved him from the den. The Lord heard Daniel, and the Lord hears me. The Lord will answer when he hears me. The Lord will answer when he hears me. If I just say a prayer, I know that he is there. The Lord will answer when he hears me.
And you know something? He'll hear your prayers too.
My God's alive. He's alive. And we really can trust him.
We'll see you guys later, okay?
Hey, thanks for coming. Hey, by the way, you can come out to camp. You can see us at camp. We'll see you guys later, okay? Hey, thanks for coming.
Hey, can I get my book? Yeah, here it is.
The Ventriloquists Are Dummies. This isn't so hard.
We'll see you guys later. Well, so long. Hey, we'll see you later. Hey, my God's alive. He's alive. I can't trust him. We'll see you later. So long. I have two other friends, and you're welcome to come out anytime throughout these next 4 weeks and see us at camp, Bible camp, Lake Blaine Regular Baptist Camp. So you be sure to come. At this time, how much time do I have? 10 minutes. At this time, let me share with you some quick things from the Word of God. Maybe we give you an opportunity to ask us some questions that you might like to ask about our ministry, about COME and the ministry that we have. Does anybody have any questions at all that you'd like to ask? Boy, I answered them all. Anything that you'd like to know about? Yes? Yes, it is. Eldon Stevens is now the president of COME and still travels as an evangelist and travels and he goes overseas. A little bit as well, but yes, he's the president of COME. Douglas Beeson, the general director, and he's the one that, Douglas Beeson, he's the one that takes care of the office and things like that of COME. Yep, yes. Anybody else? Yes.
What would you do if you had a sense
If I had a sense of humor, there we go. Boy, if I had a sense of humor, boy, just think of what I could do. That wouldn't that be something? Rodney has it all. I've been trying to learn some things from him, and yeah, I got to learn how to sing too from him. He does pretty good, doesn't he? Yeah. All right. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes. The church where, yes, is in the open. Both of the all of them are in the open, and it's very difficult for them to live for the Lord. And I prayed with a number of the families there and tried to encourage them as best as I could. But yeah, none of them are underground. One of the churches they had problems with the Communist Party, and they would come in with their machine guns and terrorize the area. It was interesting. One of the churches where I was in, they actually took up arms to keep them out of their area. And that was one of the places where I was able to spend the night and sleep. And they were armed, and the Communist Party, they didn't go in there because they knew they would be shooting back, where normally they don't shoot back. They just accept it and just go under their control. But it was very interesting, very, very interesting. And quite a ministry that Pastor June has there in the Philippines. Anybody else? Good question. Realized my time. I was planning on something else, but I preached on evangelism and I took up all my time. Yes? Yes. Yeah, they killed three of the people in the church. Pastor was able to get away, but did take the life of three of the people in the church. So very, very difficult. Do you know the missionary who died in the Philippines? Him and his wife were captured. What were their names? What was it, Burman? Burnham, that's it, Burnham. I met the pastor of the only fundamental Baptist church that was on that island where he died. And the pastors that are there that are from the Philippines, they don't have any problems with them. What it is, and I didn't understand all of it, but they come in and they capture people. A lot of them, they capture them from Japan or from China because they know that China, their families are going to pay to get them back. And so it's not necessarily for a religious reason, it's for abducting them for to get millions of dollars, to get a ransom pay. And so they don't have problems with them. So a lot of the pastors that were there, yes, they come in and shoot up their church and lose some of their families, but it's not always for religious reasons. So it was interesting. I went to one of the islands. I left Mindanao and went to another island, and the pastor's wife looked at me and said, what are you doing here? I said, well, I want to preach the gospel. She said, do you realize you could die while you're here? This is a very unsafe place. And boy, I mean, she really made me feel comfortable. She said, are you ready to die? I said, well, no, I'm just here to preach the gospel. And they warned me. They said, if you need to go out, make sure that you don't go to places where the Muslims see you and keep low key. And so I looked at my bodyguard and I said, well, I'm not going anywhere this week. You can do all the outward traveling and pick up the things we need, and I'll stay in here. He said, okay, that will be fine. So I stayed in the complex. I didn't go anywhere. they made it really clear, you're not safe. There was never a time where I felt in danger or threatened in any way. I just went where they told me to go and sticked around with them and preached when I could preach and sleep where they told me to sleep, and I felt very safe. But it was a very, very sticky situation. So, but most of my ministry, and you know, it's interesting how God uses an overseas trip. Some missionaries, they would say, well, I'm going to spend all my time overseas. When you see the response and the people responding to the Word of God, and how many people respond, my burden is cast on America. Why don't we see that in the United States? Why don't we see people hungry for the Word of God here? You know, and it just gives me a greater burden for America. And so the first time I went to the Philippines, I felt the same way, and this time as well. I'll go wherever God opens the door and sends me, but I have a greater burden for America because of that. We need a revival here. We need hearts stirred here. And realize that, yeah, there is a reason to take a stand. There is a Savior to tell people about, and the hope that we have in Christ. And to see people respond to the Word of God in the Philippines has given me a greater burden for America. And it was really exciting knowing, and it's important that going on an overseas trip to be sure to preach in churches that you feel confident that they're going to hear the Word of God, that they're going to have people that are going to encourage them to grow, people to encourage them to read the Word of God and to be faithful in the house of God. And it was good to be there and to work with the people that I had opportunity to work with. Okay, anybody else have any questions?